Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, where he'll join us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. What's up?
Not too much. Ready to get into this Jordan again this week.
That was a couple of good episodes last night.
This was a phenomenal documentary. This is really, truly extraordinarily well done by the documentarians who did this. I think they're capturing all the different storylines of Jordan, the gambling, the competitiveness, the pettiness, you know, because there is a fine line between that competitiveness and the pettiness for Jordan. And he straddles, but I mean, you know, he lives on both sides. There's no question. I think it through six, not 6 hours, but through six document, well, minus the commercials or whatever, but through six episodes so far, we have really gotten a pretty good taste of the Jordan era, and especially the way they have bounced back and forth inside. I don't know about you guys, but I like that personally. I think it gives it a little more texture to the documentary. And it doesn't lose me. I heard one person on Twitter like, I don't know what, you know, they bounce back and forth so much. I'm like, tell you where they are.
Well, yeah, but younger people that didn't live it. I mean, we go through because we real. Oh yeah, here's the Suns in the finals. Here's the Knicks in the Eastern Conference. This is 98. Yep, this is back to 91, and it you know what I could see with if you didn't live it that you would be that there would be somewhat. It's not that simple to follow, but no, I'm with you. I think it's tremendously done. Ken Burns, we talked about this last Friday. Ken Burns came out and said this was poor. He would never do this because he would never have the subject interviewed and have, you know, the last editorial rights. Which Michael Jordan has.
I get that because the thought is you can't tell the real story potentially. But you know, the only way you do this is if Jordan releases it. There is no other way to do it.
No. No. And here's the thing. If Ken Burns did it, then we would fall asleep on a 40-part episode. Oh, my God. Could every single one of us is just the slowest talking and most
Well, this isn't. And this is, you know, a little thing. For those of us who really love the music of the time as well, is that each of these, and I was figuring this out last night, every time they play music behind, especially 80s and 90s hip-hop, when they play it, it is the music of that particular year. When they played I Got It Made by Special Ed yesterday, that was done in like late 80s, I think. It was... The time period matched the time period that was on the video. When they played I'm Bad with LL Cool J in the background when he was putting 63 on the Celtics, that came out the same year that Jordan put 63 on the Celtics. Like, they have matched – they've gone so far as to match the timestamp of the music with the particular era that they were in the documentary, like, to the year. And that's really, really impressive. They played Outkast. When Jordan was headed to Atlanta, they played Outkast, and everyone picked up on that. Well, if you go back and timestamp the, you know, when Rosa Parks came out, I'm pretty sure it matches up with when a time in 98 when Jordan was headed to Atlanta when they ended up playing, you know, in a football stadium, and the place was packed out. So that's just another one of those small details that they continue to get right as well. Yesterday was, you know, yesterday did give us a little bit more of the edgier Jordan, the one who had, you know, the flaw. I'll call it the flawed Jordan, not even edgier, Michael Jordan is a flawed guy. He does have flaws without question. We saw that last night, John.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, the gambling thing was that's the biggest. And we'll hear about him going to baseball and the reason, and we'll get Michael's explanation. And we saw David Stern on there talking about, yeah, you know, there was really not much to it, really. Mike's got a lot of money. He likes to gamble, but it was really no big deal. And he was exonerated from any wrongdoing in the Atlantic City thing and everything else. The rumors will always persist that Mike had huge gambling problem and, you know, that maybe there was something behind the scenes and that's why he left. Although he did come back in the second, you know, maybe he was suspended for a year. That was, you know, and he was able to come back in the
but
second year.
They haven't
year
mentioned because, that yet, right?
Yeah. No. That's coming up the next one. This next one will probably be baseball because we're running. We've only got four left, so one of them, it's got to be baseball coming up next. But that's chronologically, that's what's happening next anyway. But I thought the Dream Team was, in how, you know, they were getting after it. This was it just you're right. This is just a tremendous series of behind the scenes stuff that, you know, I remember most all of this. Do you remember most all of this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's small details that I don't remember. I remember the Kukoc. I thought yesterday. I want to be able to go through and properly discuss all this stuff throughout the show and not just go. Because me, I will go scatterbrain and comment on every little thing and be done with it in 15 minutes. So I don't want to do that. But I do remember most of it. Some of it is a refresher. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Scotty. I mean, I forgot about Kukoc the way I remembered that. I certainly know that Kukoc got treated a certain way in the Olympics. You know what I forgot? I forgot he came back. That Tony Kukoc came back for a second game and played pretty well against Jordan. I'd forgotten about that. I just remember when he got beat down by Jordan and Pippen. I didn't remember that he came back and had a much better game in the finals.
Yeah, me either.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, no, me either. That was forgotten all about it. And they, you know, they garnered a measure of respect for him after that, especially after the beat down they put down him in that first game. Holy crap! You did not want to be. And it's all because of Krause. All because of Krause, because Jerry Krause had zero. I mean, oh really, Jerry? You're gonna sing Tony Kukoc's praises while we're sitting here doing all this work over here? And what a great job you did getting a Tony Kukoc. We'll watch this, Jerry. And he must have been. Jerry Krause must have just been like, oh my goodness. And I mean, the motivation that Jerry Krause gave of those two guys, Michael and Scotty. It's just so funny that's your general manager and you couldn't wait to shove it. Just shove it right in his face. Any opportunity that you got. That is just so – what a great job he did. Again, we talked about this last week. He should be so revered and he was so disliked.
My wife said, how long – did Michael always – when did that start with Michael and Jerry Krause? I'm like, I don't know. But obviously from the documentary, it started fairly early.
Yeah.
I mean – well, I say fairly early. You know, it's kind of weird because it's almost like – it's kind of like Dream, where Dream has a second – there's Dreams. Hakeem Olajuwon has a first career up until about 92 – up until the Steve Patterson beef. That was Dream's career. He had career number one, and then career number two started in about 92, where he was – things were a lot different around 92. They didn't win a championship then, but you could sense that it was kind of starting to come together – in a different way, like a second portion of his career where he was more skilled. It was less about explosive athleticism, but the skill level was really getting exceptionally high. With Jordan, there's almost there's the explosive tongue out gold chain in the All-Star game, you know, Michael Jordan until about 89, and then there's the night starting in 1990, even before they won the championship. There's a different era of Michael Jordan and the Bulls starting in about 90. And that was Act Two, and that includes the six championships. I'm wondering now. Krause wasn't there. Krause wasn't the GM when Mike first came into the league. I guess it was Rod Thorne, right? Wasn't he the GM? Rod Thorne was not just I was thinking president, but he was GM. So I'm not sure how early it happened, but my guess it was pretty early. Number one, he was, you know, kind of a dorky looking dude. But number two, my guess is that Krause just rubbed in the wrong way with. You know, you could hear, we saw it with Jerry Krause talking about this is a great team, but it's the organization, the right. organization. And you could hear him banging on that from championship number two. I'm sure we already know that got under Jordan's skin, so maybe that's where it started. I don't know.
Right, and his famous quote. Well, it started, I think, when Mike wanted to get his North Carolina buddies on the team, and Jerry Krause told him no. And Mike ain't used to being told no. I mean, he wanted Walter Davis on the Bulls, and Walter Davis was at the end of his rope, and Jerry Krause was just like, nah.
Well, Krause made smart moves.
Yeah. No. If Mike – look, we see Mike as an owner and slash GM and how good that is. It ain't good. Mike is much better as the player, and let Jerry Krause put the team together, because Jerry Krause did a hell of a job, an unbelievable job. Yet Mike said, no, you don't tell me no. Watch this, Jerry, and I'll make your life miserable for the rest of your life. And sure enough, he did. Yeah, Jerry died in 2017. He came. He got to the Bulls in 85, which was right after Mike was drafted.
Oh,
by
early
Rockwell.
On. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right after Mike was drafted. But you look at Jerry Krause and you probably go, you know, if you're Mike, you're like, really, dude? You're going to tell us all about, you know, how to win in sports and you're, well, he did. He did a hell of a job finding talent. I mean, you know, he made his mistakes with the Burrells and the Hobsons and some guys like that. But, you know, Craig Hodges and John Paxson and Steve Kerr and, you know, after replacing Horace Grant. You know, the center position not so much with Luke Longley and
I thought the center guy, you know, that this is why. Look, I think the Jordan now, I really think the Jordan Bulls the next year would have had a problem with the Rockets, because I didn't realize how physically and mentally exhausted. I'm starting to realize how yesterday I thought did a phenomenal job. We can get to this on the other side of really detailing how Michael was absolutely exhausted, not just physically, but mentally exhausted by the end of that third championship.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been very difficult for them to beat the Rockets or maybe any team from the West or maybe get there in year four, because A, they had been winning. It's hard to keep your edge and your motivation, the physical toll it was taking. I can't remember if you lost Ho Grant that year or not, but the two years, the one and a half year.
In 95, so.
Yeah, we know that because Jordan couldn't get past them. But I felt like the bigs for what they had were fine. You just wanted some big oafs that you could throw at the other big bodies in the league. It was fine at that time. You just didn't want to have them against the elite centers, but they weren't really. They faced Patrick Ewing. Well, we got a good sense of the Knicks yesterday, too, in a short time frame. You see how many scraps that they had. They were scrapping with the Knicks. It got ugly multiple times in that series.
Right. No. Oh my goodness. You want to talk about? I mean, I would imagine. I mean, I'm watching it with JT, and he's like, "Holy crap!
Yeah,
these dudes get after it."
David. So we had David Johnson on Twitter's like, you know, I have to read it. He said, I grew up in the Jordan. He goes, I remember watching Jordan and all that stuff. He goes, but I can't believe I ever said anything about LeBron. He goes, I've been a guy who talked about LeBron and Jordan. He goes, this documentary is making me, you know, basically remember what Jordan really was like. You know, like, I think it's a big refresher course for a lot of people. An eye opening when we talk about how much of a meat grinder it was. Not every game, but to get to, like, there was some. Basketball now versus then,
oh my God,
in the 90s, it got super. 80s turned into fist fights. 70s and 80s, it came over from the ABA, but they would just let you swing on each other. But then in the 90s, the no-layup stuff in some of the Eastern Conference games was crazy.
No, it was brutal. 713 ESPN 97.5. We got some sound. We'll talk about Clyde on the other side. And we'll localize it with Clyde. And what Mike thought of Clyde next right here. 713, don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 718 ESPN 97.5. So, well, last night, part of the Jordan documentary was about the 92 NBA Finals, Michael versus Clyde. And it was billed as Michael versus Clyde, two of the best players in the NBA. And Mike took a little offense to it.
Offense to everything.
Hey, well, of course he did. Of course he did.
Wait, did somebody tell me that Krause liked Dan Majerle?
Yeah.
Oh,
he said it in the documentary.
No.
Mike said it.
That's what I mean. Jordan. He's like, I'm sorry, did somebody say something about Krause love Majerle?
I think
he did.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Now Dan's going to catch one.
Well, did you see the meme that someone tweeted out that, Mike had that questionable mustache, and someone goes, did you say Jerry Krause likes Jewish people?
Did you?
No, he didn't. Yes. No, they didn't.
That is horrible. But listen, when you put Craig Elo and nothing against white people, but when you put Craig Elo and Dan Majerle on Michael Jordan, what
Dennis
do you
Johnson
expect
caught
is
it? What, you just saying because he's got freckles, he counts too with the Elo crowd?
Yeah,
wow.
Right. Well, but that's what that was the coach's decisions. Elo's gonna. And did you see Ron Harper? Ron Harper's like, what is really? You're gonna put Elo
bleep
on
out of here with that bull bleep.
Yeah, get out of here with that. And then and Dan Majerle on. But that, as soon as I saw that, I said, "Oh, this isn't gonna go well for Dan. It's not gonna go well. Not in the least."
Well, Jordan. It's really not gonna go well when Jordan thinks Krause likes him.
Yes, right. Right.
I mean, that was like, oh no.
And go ahead and say, well, these two are the best in the game, because then Michael's gonna go. Really?
Me when and Clyde, that was a problem. And here, let's hear. Here's Magic, and this is on the doc yesterday, so you'll hear the highlights. But if you haven't watched it yet, and I remember living this because I came up with Fi Slam and JMA. Clyde was my guy. I mean, Clyde was my guy. I do not forget watching this series in Richmond Rosenberg in my apartment, and I'm watching this whole series like I can't wait to watch Clyde the Glide. And Clyde had this incredible year. Clyde had played really well that year. And remember, Clyde had made it to the championships previously against the Pistons, and I think in 89. And so this is a good Portland team, too. This is a Portland team that had
really?
Percy and Buck Williams and Terry Porter and Clyde. I mean, this is a team who teams kind of stayed together more, at least longer. And so they had a lot of chemistry on that team. And I thought, man, the Blazers have a legit shot at beating the Bulls. And because Clyde was considered up there with Jordan, and we were talking about him up there with Jordan as the best two guard, in the Western Conference. Oh, yeah, I didn't like what happened this series.
No.
It wasn't good.
And here's Magic talking about it.
Clyde was a threat. I'm not saying he wasn't a threat. But me being compared to him, I took offense to that.
I'm working for NBC. I'm covering the finals. So the night before game one, we were at Michael's house playing cards. And he said, what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to give it to this dude.
And the matchup at the start, Michael Jordan facing Clyde Drexler.
So he hit that first three. And then here come the second one. The third one. Michael didn't want anybody to have nothing over him. And every time he hit a three, he glanced over at me at the NBC tape.
Record 35 points in the half.
And he was like, I'm killing this dude.
A 35.5
in the half
against the guy who's considered the number one 2 guard in the Western Conference, Clyde Drexler. Oh, man, that was tough.
And hey, Jordan only shot 27% from three that year, but he only took 1.3 a game.
When I hear people talk about Jordan and three, Jordan couldn't. Like, you got to be some kind of stupid. The people who are still
He improved tremendously.
Yeah, no, he did. A lot of guys, but threes were not really part of his game.
They weren't. He shot one a game. Look at 0.6, 1, 0.8, 0.6 per
game. Can you imagine if Daryl Morey was around during the era and it was just the Michael Jordan documentary was just him shooting threes? It would have been a disaster. All those acrobatic shots that are signature Mike moves, can you imagine here's the sad thing. There are players right now in the NBA who could be putting up some unbelievably acrobatic moves in the paint. Like things that we saw Jordan do, there would be guys who could make some iconic moves going to the hole. But now they're stuck jacking from 25 because that's the way the league is played now.
But look at the difference, though. Look at the shooting percentage difference, though. While you know, he shot 32.7 when he started off very poorly in his career. But he shot 17%, 16%, 18%, 13%. Then he got good in 89 and shot much better. But his field goal percentage for his career, what do you think Mike's field goal percentage was?
From three?
No, his field goal percentage.
Oh, in general, I'd say like 47%.
It was 50, 49.7.
Oh, man, that's pretty high.
In his two-point percentage was for his career. He shot 53% that year from two. I mean, that's like a center now.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive for some of the shots. Now, he shot a lot of mid-range shots.
Yeah.
It was a different game. I mean, Jordan's game was getting into the paint, so he had to earn. They knew where to find him. So he was going to get the piss beat out of him by the Pistons and Knicks. He knew that was coming. And by the way, also by the Heat, also by the Hornets, there were other teams. The Cavs wouldn't – I mean, the Cavs actually had some finesse players. But let's get Longhorn Keith in here. He wants to talk about the Doc. What's going on, Longhorn Keith?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I really – you guys nailed something that I took from this. I'm really enjoying the series, by the way, the docuseries. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. It highlights to me one of the things that I talked about with my son for a long time, because obviously he always thinks that I'm just hyping up Jordan. And, you know, to him, LeBron James is the greatest things that ever happened to basketball, and so was Kobe. And Kobe was fantastic. But one of the things that I see, and I said to him, name me one player in the NBA today. And granted, I'm thankful for the behind-the-scenes footage that you get to see with him talking to his teammates and really just scolding them sometimes, and more importantly, asking them competitive questions. But name me one player in the NBA today that you could say commands or demands the respect of his locker room based off not just, you know, his bravado, but more importantly, what he does on the court, and more importantly, in practice. Man, I literally had chills watching the Olympic practice that they had, and they were going back and forth at each other, and I'm going, tell me one player that could handle being in that practice and having Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and all these guys, you know, just jabbing at you the whole practice.
All those alphas.
Players to me. Yes, exactly. And today's players to me, and again, I'm not trying to be a revisionist history guy, but I just don't see that kind of toughness or that mentality, including LeBron James. I like LeBron James, but I just don't see that type of mentality in today's game.
See, I think LeBron, here's the thing, and this may surprise people. I don't think it's necessarily LeBron's fault. I think it's when LeBron has come up. I think if you had stuck LeBron back then, he would have thrived. He would have been a terrific player. Now, I'm not saying he would have been more than Charles Barkley necessarily. I think LeBron is a better physical specimen than Barkley. Barkley Barkley at his prime. See, here's the difference. LeBron has stayed in prime condition and prime. This is what makes LeBron unbelievably excellent to me, is that he has stayed in prime form for a long, long time. And people will really realize that when his career is over. Like, this is a long time to stay at this type of level. You go back and look at the all-time. Go back and look at Magic. Now, granted, he didn't play any college. It's kind of crazy. You know, Jordan had 3 years of college. Charles had, I think, four. Most of these guys had already, you know, by the time they were 30 in the league, they had only been in playing pro basketball for like 8 years. LeBron had been in for 12 years. So there's a big difference there where he's gotten a lot in before he got to the age of 30. But he's also gotten a lot of wear and tear on his body, and he's been able to withhold. But LeBron is a physical freak like we've never seen. We also know that, too. That's why only Zion is mentioned with LeBron when it comes to the physical, the potential physical. And Zion, I think, is starting to carry too much weight. LeBron is almost unmatched with what a freak show he is physically. But, John, I think LeBron has the mental toughness. I just think he's come up in a time where he has to play to social media sometimes, and that's the time we live in. Kind of a nature nurture thing.
What do you think? I wonder what LeBron thinks of this. We got to take a break. We're up against it here. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Longhorn Keith.
Oh, I think he's got his own documentary crew right now taping stuff.
I think that's it.
I'm getting my own doc going too.
But I, you know, this has got to be grinding on him a little bit. This is my era. This is my time, and Mike's taking it. And this has got to be flipping some of these youngsters that, again, that didn't know anything about
that
Mike.
Too. Yeah.
That never seen Mike before and had no idea. My son, he's watching. He's like, I knew Mike was great, but my goodness, this is unbelievable.
No, this shows him what we knew. This shows him the Michael Jordan stuff that we knew.
Right.
But I don't.
Right.
But it includes the flawed stuff. The flawed stuff to me is what. That's who MJ was. He was
the
also
flawed stuff. Isn't a very big deal if you want to.
No. But the flawed stuff is what makes him. He is not perfect. Like we're seeing. And he even said in the documentary, I wish I never would have been a role model. He said, I wish I never would have.
Well, he had no choice, though. I mean,
don't have a choice. But
it's like he's the prisoner of his own fame when he's laying on that couch.
Was crazy. That's something we already knew.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Once you get to a certain level of fame, it's over. Jordan was one of the first ones in sports that I can recall. Maybe the first one where he had, like, Magic probably in L.A. some. Michael Jordan is the first guy in sports that I can remember where it was a wrap. He had Michael Jackson level attention.
Right, right. No, the footage of the fandom is just ridiculous. He's like a rock star. All right, take a break, and I got to talk about Doc Linville. My hair. I'm gonna tell you what, because I can't get a haircut. I'm 18 again. I'm thick and just luscious hair right now. It's just what it is. And I'm like, holy crap! Thanks, Doc Linville. You did this, and people are noticing. They're like, you got a full head of hair there, boy. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And it's all because of Doc Linville. That's because Doc Linville, he took the hair, neo grafted it. And it's not, and if you've ever done it before, if you've seen it before, the process of where they cut you and then they staple it up to the top of your, that's bad. That's really, really not the way to do it. The way that Doc Linville did it, man, I'm in the chair for about maybe 4 hours or so. And then in 6-8 months later, you feel like, wow, this is unbelievable how good, what a great job that Doc did. And I feel great about it, and you will too. And this is a great time to get it done. He can also give you that virtual consultation right now. You guys both do Zoom, and he takes a look at your head, and he can tell you whether or not you get the job done, and then you get in and get it done. So listen, if you're looking for a great way to have hair again, guys, go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I wonder what's inside your butthole. I wonder what's inside your butthole. Maybe there's astronauts and maybe there's aliens all inside your butthole. What's inside your butthole? I always want to know what's inside your butthole. I always want to know what's inside your butthole.
An alien fan came stuck his spike in my booty.
Now, play on that on the timeline. Now play the remix right below and see how brilliant the remix is of What's Inside the Butthole. Now do the dude who remixes on a piano. If you go down to Matt DeGroote, he's got his friend on a piano.
People have way too much time.
Wait until you hear the piano version. This other guy gets on a piano and sings it. Watch this. If you keep scrolling down, you'll get to Matt DeGroote, because there's other people doing remixes. It's right below the Jay-Z and a guy named Matt DeGroote has. My friend gave it the soft piano treatment, and watch this one.
Look, if y'all don't see a young Michelle Branch in that, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I mean that's exactly what that is.
That's all I'm looking at. I gotta find. Exactly, I haven't found what you're talking about yet.
Okay, it's on the. You'll have to keep going down because there's already a variety of different remixes of it.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
you guys see what who Roquan Smith is hanging with?
Yeah, he's hanging with a porn star. That's always, to me, I'm always curious if a player is going to have a good year or a bad year once they start hanging with porn stars. We know, Joel Embiid wasn't hanging out with one. He was just, he's the one that kind of curved Mia Khalifa, right? She was undefeated
Deshaun.
At that until she got destroyed by Joel Embiid, and then Deshaun was hanging out with her, and then I think snapped his ACL in half.
Yeah, Deshaun was hanging with Mia. I don't know.
It was after.
So Abella Danger is who Roquan is hanging out with on a boat. She's a Cub fan too. The Cubs have to be proud. She's got a Cubs visor on, and Roquan, I'm not sure that his new team is going to be all that. Hey, that's awesome, dude. That's exactly what we were looking for, out of one of our players is, instead of doing your, getting down in the playbook, getting down other ways. It's fun. That's good. That's good, clean fun for the whole family.
The obvious tie-in is, do you think Roquan ever asked this?
So this thing, has it gone viral? I saw it had like 300.
Only 6.5 million hits, don't worry.
That little girl is going to grow up and she's going to be the butthole girl.
I think Abella Dangerous is the b-hole girl. She's just going to have a song.
I don't think you want to be known as the butthole girl.
Well, I'm sure I don't. Thanks, Mom. For putting that out there for everybody.
Look, it's great promo because her mom's a musician too and has a album out, so I guess people can check that out, I think.
Oh, maybe mom's going to catch them off this?
Well,
off her kids?
You do what you got to do in these times.
I mean, Kris Jenner did, right?
Yeah.
She parlayed that into how much, right?
They're billionaires.
Yeah, thank you. She's going the Kris Jenner route. Let me just use my kids as a way to make me a bunch of money.
And by the way, all the different remixes are really good too. That's one of the remixes we played, which is outstanding. There's a lot of remixes under that same thread that you can hear. But this is probably the last story I'm going to tell about Mahdi, because there's really nothing else left to say after this. I got they sent me an Echo Dot. I got an Echo Dot from because I re-up my wife's satellite radio or whatever, and an Echo Dot comes. And I haven't really messed around with any of that stuff, but McCool at their house here that I'm doing a show from, they've got Alexa, and it's pretty cool. You can just tell Alexa what music you want it to play, and it plays the music and get the weather. There's a lot of stuff you can do with it. So one of the things, when I opened up the app and I saw where you can ask Alexa to roast you or burn you. So I set up manually, I write a burn for each of my kids. And for Mason, you know, I do one for Mason, I do one for Sebastian, I do one for Alec, and I get to Mahdi, and I say, and this comes out of Alexa's voice. It says, Mahdiana is really, really holy. In fact, she wishes she was at the Garden of Eden, and she wishes she could see, and she wished she could have been there for Adam and Eve so that she could have snitched on them. That's the burn. Mm-hmm. And so if the kids say, I told the kids, hey, y'all got to check this out and see what Alexa says. And so they go, Alexa, roast me. And so it started going through all of them. Would you like to hear the next one or something? Are you ready to get another sick burn? And they say, yes. Oh, now Alexa's talking to me. You hear that? In the background, I can't mention the A word. Anyway, so Mahdi goes, or it gets to Mahdi's, and Alexa does that burn where she said, Mahdi wishes she was at the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve so that she could have snitched on them. And she goes, yeah, I would have. You know why? Because they're not supposed to do that. Yes, I would have told on them. Yes, and that's not snitching. I would have told because they're not supposed to eat the apple. So, yeah, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And all I could think of was, this is the perfect embodiment. Even when Alexa, and she got furious that we were laughing, and she stormed out of the house. And I just said, we can't even do a fun Alexa burn about that without her storming out of the house. Yes, I absolutely would have told.
Of course you would.
Why are you making it a literal thing, Mahdi? It's a joke.
No.
She storms out of the house. Yes, I would have told. And you should want to tell, too. Okay.
Elizabethan. Elizabethan Mahdi. Mahdi is never, ever. Never change, Mahdi. Never, ever, ever change. Yes.
But she's watching a doc with us, and she has all these questions. Which Olympics? When did they start Olympics in basketball? That wasn't one of the first Olympic sports. Because, you know, she homeschools and she knows about the first Olympics or whatever. And I said, actually, I don't know. I guess the 60s? I said, I don't know when they started basketball. I said, I think the 60s? I don't know if it was before then or not. She goes, that didn't used to be an Olympic sport. I said, no.
Well, no, since it was invented in 1900-something.
It used to be one, but I think in the 60s. She goes, wait a minute. Why was the Dream Team playing basketball? When was there basketball in the Olympics? Like, there has been. Mm. Yeah. We've had it for a while.
Yeah, we've gotten ripped off plenty, Mahdi. Okay? All right? The Russians, 1972, Mahdi. Okay? Catch up. But we've gotten screwed on this thing. Now, you know what happened in this one? In 92? Beat the ass. That's what we did, Mahdi. That's right. 742 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Let's talk about – I want to talk about fifth-year options. Man, ooh. Oh, man, oh, man. Charlie Casserly was literally, you can take Charlie Casserly literally. We'll talk about that on the other side. But right now we're going to talk about Chastain Ford and my boy over there. Pat, listen, the Chastains are wonderful at what they do. It is so, so good. It is so good. I love being part of the family. And you literally are when you he texted me the other day, man, we're sending one out right now. I texted him something and he said, we're sending one out right now to a 97.5 listener. You guys are responding. And here's the thing. It's a hard time right now and you might have to get out of that car. Well, go trade it in and get you that car that you're going to be at the right price for you. First thing that they'll ask, this is when I bought mine. I bought my Expedition there. They said, well, what? Just tell us where you got to be on your payments. I mean, well, obviously, I want it as low as possible. I know, but, okay, so, you know, you got to be realistic about it. You want to get this kind of car, how much can you spend? And they worked the deal, and they got me into that deal. 84 months, no interest. It's unbelievable. Nothing down, and no payments for 6 months. People, this is the perfect pandemic deal for you, because you are going to get into that vehicle right now that you have to have at the price you have to have it at. So go to ChastainFord.com. They'll deliver it. They'll do everything. You can virtually shop, all of those things right now at ChastainFord.com. It's on 610, two exits from 59. Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
I wonder what's inside your butthole. I wonder what's inside your hole. Maybe there's astronauts, maybe there's aliens, all inside your butthole. What's inside your butthole? I really want to know.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Let it bump, though.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, Lance, now there are a few guys. I think there's three guys that have been undecided. Today's the deadline for picking up the fifth-year option for first-round picks. So you get him for 4 years, and then you got to pay him a nice chunk. Deshaun's going to get $17.5 million his fifth year. Pat Mahomes is going to get over $24 million his fifth year. So of the 32 players drafted in the first round, how many have so far, have they either extended them, which is the case with Christian McCaffrey, or they picked up their fifth-year option?
Well, what's the question now?
How many guys are in the first round from 4 years ago? Have they? Today's the deadline. How many have they picked up?
I would say 22.
17.
Wow.
Yeah.
This just goes to show you, man, that it is more of a crapshoot than people think.
So get this number, though. Four of the first five declined. Five of the top 10 declined.
Boy, I missed on Solomon Thomas. Golly, his tape was so – there were some teams that just weren't sure that he had the size to play inside. Like, if you wreck shop in college on the interior, but you're not very big, a lot of times they don't – it's like, yeah, it just doesn't translate in the NFL. And sure enough, they were right on Solomon Thomas. He's one of them that got declined over the weekend. Mitchell Trubisky, we know, got declined. Who are the other ones?
Okay, so declined. Mitchell Trubisky, Solomon Thomas, Leonard Fournette, Corey Davis, and John Ross.
Oh, Corey Davis got declined, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, A.J. Brown, the way he's played, Corey Davis should be a much more dominant player than he is. He really should be. Big, strong, for whatever, maybe he just can't separate. I think that's probably part of the problem, is he's not doing that. But
it was.
Is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Wow, I thought he was better last year. He only had, did he miss some time? He must have missed some time.
No,
so Corey Davis had, John, he had 15 games and a, dude, he had 60, he had 43 catches for 601 and two touchdowns. That's it.
That's it.
God, yeah. That's it. Yeah, you, of course you declined that. Yeah. Remember, he didn't play his first year. No, fifth year option. Yeah, it's coming up on fourth year.
So, yeah. He's got, yeah, this is, you got to do it before their fourth year. You got to pick it up. And you got to pick it up by today. So there's through Malik Hooker, you think he gets picked up?
So Malik Hooker for the Colts, yes, yeah. I think Ballard will pick him up.
He probably picks him up. Marshawn Lattimore. Lattimore gets picked up.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
He probably,
Lattimore's a good player.
He probably gets extended.
Extended, yeah. Hooker's one of those guys that Ballard's going to have to decide on because he's had injury issues. He was a great ball hawk coming out of college, but he's had some injury issues. I don't know that that's a lock, though.
And then Ryan Ramczyk is the other one, tackle for
the
Saints.
Oh, that's a lock. Yeah, he's a really good offensive lineman.
They're probably extending him as well. So it's more than likely going to be 13, 12, 13 guys that have been – a couple of guys. Gary Conley has already been traded. Beat it. We don't want you here anymore. And the Texans picked him, but they're not going to – they're not picking up that – his Taco Charlton's already been released by the Cowboys. So – literally, it's almost 50-50. Now, it's a little bit better than 50-50, but, you know, it's such a hit or miss in the first round. So, Lance, your whole theory about Bill O'Brien and first-round picks, shot to hell. Because you don't win. Look at all the guys. Oh, great. You're first round. How's that work out for you?
Ask the Saints with their Marshawn Lattimore and Ryan Ramchick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, those guys were huge hits.
Yeah, well, what about – oh, yeah? What about – Tacarus McKinley.
Stop trying to cape for.
Fine.
There
ask
you go. Put on your
Falcons.
Dell, did he get another pizza? Did he get another pizza?
I'm
What's
sure he
happening
did.
Here? Did
I
another
mean,
pizza come?
It's the weekend. I'm sure.
No, well,
the Texans were thinking about him.
We were actually going to use. We ate pizza the other night. Instead, I just put one in the oven as opposed to getting one. And it's Papa John's.
Delivered from Bill.
I was like, nah. But I was too busy. I was too busy bike shopping this weekend. So
what? You and Wendy got bikes already. Did you get one
bikes.
For JT or what?
No. We bought two bikes last Saturday.
Yeah,
we bought two bikes last Saturday, and then I bought another one yesterday.
Oh, for JT or,
yeah,
for Frankie, or
Frankie
or who for?
No, it was for me again.
Oh, you
so
didn't like your first one?
I rode my bike twice, and stolen. And
from where?
I don't know. We're going to have to ask Gilbert. Dell, can you get Gilbert figure out where my bike was stolen?
I feel like if Gilbert was the detective, he would be an open and shut case, Johnson.
I know.
There'd be a prime suspect.
Okay.
Very quickly.
We've narrowed down the list of suspects here.
To every black guy in Houston.
Stole my bike. Went out there Saturday. We're going to go take a bike ride. Let's go ride. Oh, where is it? Oh, good. It's gone. So then we had to walk around and go to get margaritas and stuff instead of riding our bikes to get margaritas. So that's how rough that was. That's what the rough weekend I had.
Well,
now, how much does that suck, though? You're like, really? What? That's my bike. That was my bike. I kind of liked it.
Now you sympathize with Gilbert, don't you?
Yeah.
Instead of laughing, now you know how it feels. But
where did you get it stolen from?
Well, we got a bike rack here at the building, and it was, they said, So during the week, we got an email that said a couple bikes have been stolen. Apparently, there was, I don't know, they saw the video of somebody coming in there and taking bikes. What they do is, so security told me, what they do is they put your bike on a website. And say, is anybody interested in this bike? And then somebody says, yeah, I'm interested in that bike. I'll give you this much for it. And they say, okay. And then they go back and steal it.
Well, there's no point in putting in the effort of taking a bike and the risk if no one wants
it. Right. If nobody wants it, you got to have a market.
Yeah. So where's this website?
I don't know. They said
the dark web.
Actually, it can go anywhere. No. Why do you need a dark web? Hey, I got a bike for sale. If you want a bike, this style of bike. Hmm. Oh, I do. I'll pay this for it. Okay. And now I'll go get it.
So do they take pictures of your bike, or do they just give the specs of it and tell people that's available?
Because
it'd be weird if I went on a website and it was a bike locked to a bike rack and someone was trying to sell it. That's generally not how you showcase a bike.
Right. And it's, it's upside down on the rack, too. It's one of those racks where you're hanging. It's a hanging rack. So that would be a really, really weird. But, yeah, they just came and snipped the lock and just said, this is mine now. I felt violated.
Wow.
That's my bike.
It's
that was
that
my bike.
Easy to get rid of. It's that easy to lift a bike.
Yeah.
Just snap the, Yeah.
So I got a better one of those steel, instead of the wire lock where you, I got a better one this time. Except now I put it up out here on the balcony and said, screw you. Now you got to come up here and get it. Okay. Now see how it works out for you.
Did you just say come and take it about your bike?
Yeah, come and take it, a-holes. I mean, what a bunch of a-holes. That was my bike.
Yeah.
And somebody stole it.
It sucks when personal property is taken from you.
Yeah.
Without
it really
your
does.
Permission. It's awful.
I know, right?
Has this been the first time you've had something stolen? Like an actual something of value? Because my house has been I've had in two locations house broken in three times. It's just a weird, weird feeling, man.
Yeah,
it's
no, terrible. You feel like
it's a violated feeling.
It is a violated feeling.
I'll never forget. I was in my when I was in Sugar Land back in '99. I was working on, stuff for our show that night, and something had played. There was some type of might have been a national championship game in basketball. I can't remember because my home office there was really it was connected basically to the. To the garage. And so, because I had to have a window unit in there to keep it cool. Well, anyway, all of a sudden I hear, and my garage is opening. I'm like, what the hell? And I get up and I go look out and I see somebody must have accidentally hit the garage door opener with their head, but they had gotten into my car and stolen. I had a camcorder in there for whatever reason. And they had just gotten into my car and maybe I didn't lock it, I think. I don't think I locked it. And stolen that, and man, it makes you think a lot of different things. One time, we all left, me and the family, but we left Drake there. He was probably 16. We left to go get some bagels somewhere in the morning, and some guy came and broke out. He must have been casing us. He broke out the side window next to the door, and came into the house, unlocked it with his hands, came into the house, and Drake heard the noise and went over, and he's like, "What's up?" To the guy who came in, the guy like kind of freaked out and took off running. Now Drake would have just immediately gone to chokeholds and karate kicks. I mean,
yeah, no, that would
he would have immediately kickboxed the piss out.
Drake would have been like, "Oh, this is my day,
nice." But then he was just like Drake said. I said, "What went through your head?" He goes, "I was just confused. You don't know what the hell's going on."
Yeah, no,
and
you're like, "What are you doing in my house?"
It is a violated deal. Did you
was
feel
it Tom
violated?
Brady? Was it Tom Brady that was in his house?
It wasn't Tom Brady.
No.
Wasn't Tom?
No, it was probably like Drake was 16 at the time. Probably yeah, Sage no. wandered into his house or something. And he's like, "Sage fell in my house. What are you doing here, Sage?"
So I won at golf. I mean, I won a nice haul at golf one day. And I left the money in my console. And I had like an SUV. And I left the money in my console. And the next day, my window was broken, and that was the only thing that was taken. So I think it might have been one of the guys that I was playing golf with.
Jeff Aronoff did it.
It could have been.
Hey, John, where you keep your money when you get in your house?
I don't think it was Jeff Aronoff per se, but it could have been. You know, I don't know.
Yanni,
don't know
did Yanni do it? Let's besmirch all the people who were associated with Dustin.
No, Yanni doesn't play golf. He's too unathletic.
Well, that's really unathletic. You can't play golf.
If you can't play, yeah, right. No. I don't. It might have could have been Martin Fox. I don't know. It might have been. I don't know.
To answer your question, Lance. Yeah. I was robbed a couple times. I was like 16 maybe the second time, maybe like 12 the first time. The one thing I remember, it actually three times, and here I got robbed here when we moved to Houston or in the area. I remember they used one of my bed sheets to carry out, apparently to carry out something heavy, because when we got home, the windows were broken and then up. That's how they got in. And one of my bed sheets was like in the driveway. Because I guess they use it to carry stuff to the car or something.
Holy crap.
So
that's the ultimate.
Yeah, so that's the only thing I remember from like the three times a house of mine has been broken into. Like, we pull up and we're like, why is my bed sheet in the driveway? And then we found out when we got
that's
inside.
That's weird. That's weird.
Well done. Well done. We got to take a break. It's 7:58 ESPN 97. Just got a note from Alonzo. He is the executive for the Seahawks right now. It's official. He's working. He's excited about working with John Schneider and the organization. That's a great
organization.
It's
official now?
It's official.
Oh, good.
Good for him. Good for him. Way to go, Zoe. That's the man right there. It's 7:59 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
listening to ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.